Welcome to Rogue Chemist. I'm Jenna Flogeris, former lab rat turned digital nomad. Rogue Chemist chronicles my misadventures around the world, including the people I've met and the lessons I've learned along the way. A few years ago, in 2021, I traveled to northern Iraq. The decision was spontaneous and inspired by Kurdish friends I had made during my stay in Mardin in southeastern Turkey. These friends enlightened me about Kurdish culture and encouraged me to visit the neighboring region of Iraqi Kurdistan. It was only a bus ride away. Whatever initial reservations I had about visiting Iraq were eased by their assurances that it was a safe destination. So a few days later, I boarded a bus from Mardin to Erbil, the capital of Iraqi Kurdistan, where I teamed up with an American friend to explore the region for a few weeks. Here, we met Mustafa Kurshid, an Erbil local, through the platform Couchsurfing. With an infectious optimism, Mustafa graciously and proudly showed us around a city, including the best falafel joint in town, the oldest tea house, and historical landmarks. Mustafa is an architect and photographer who helped document the war in Iraq. In our recent Zoom conversation, we focused on the rich, vibrant culture of the country, which unfortunately is often overlooked by the media. So Mustafa, it's so nice to hear you after all this time. We first met in 2021 in Erbil. For those listening, that's in northern Iraq. I was there in June 2021, and Mustafa and I met on Couchsurfing. I didn't stay with him, but he and I connected through there. Another traveler who was with me, Brooke, we met Mustafa. He took us around Kurdistan, mainly Erbil, showed us all the cool sights. It was very eye-opening, Mustafa. Thank you again. I was really surprised by Erbil and Kurdistan. Back then, you were a student studying architecture and meeting tourists, taking them around sometimes. What are you doing now?
So I am Mustafa, and at the moment, I'm just like fresh architecture engineering. I'm basically based at the moment. I live in Basra, which is like the opposite side of the country. I'm like so in the bottom side, like last point in Iraq. And Basra is one of the hottest town in the world right now. Like the temperature is like around 49 at the moment. It's like free sauna outdoor. Yeah. And the thing is like people, when it's Iraq or Kurdistan in general, like they're going to always like the internet going to the first like few links and pages, picture going to show the mass about the Iraq, like the war, the Hollywood stuff and like the actions, bombs, ISIS.
Yes, I just wanted to ask you first, Mustafa, how is Kurdistan different from federal Iraq? So it's semi-autonomous, but what does this mean? How do the two regions differ? What are the main differences geographically, politically, culturally? Can you explain?
So we are Kurds. So like as a Kurds, we are not like, we are not Arabs. We are Kurds, so we have our language, culture, history, traditional clothes even, and our flags. It's so beautiful, full of color flags. And so we are a communist region back in 1920 when like the Kurds have fought the militia of Kurds with the, what we call it, Peshmerga nowadays. And the Peshmerga literally mean the people who's going to face the death.
Yes.
Where they fight against the regime Saddam Hussein. So we have the chance to be a communist region. We are not an independent country. We are belong to Iraq. But we have our, like, let's say, we have our, like, parliament system, army. Yeah.
Yes. And the other thing, too, which... Sorry, you said which year did Kurdistan become semi-autonomous from Iraq?
In 1991.
1991, okay. So quite a while. I remember, so when I traveled through Turkey first before going to Iraq, And, you know, they're not allowed to display the Kurdish flag there. So I think a lot of Kurds end up going to from other regions like Syria, Iran, Turkey, probably end up going to Iraqi Kurdistan. Is that right? Do you end up with people, Kurdish people from those areas?
So as a Kurdish, we are the biggest ethnic group in the world without country. Our population is about 50-ish,
yeah.
50 million.
Right.
And we separated and divided to the four country in the north of Kurdistan, which is Turkey, in the west, Syria, and in the south, Iraq, and the east side, Iran. So the majority of the Kurds divide into these four countries. And we never been an official country. And the Kurdistan, Iraq, it's the lucky part.
Yes.
They have their autonomous region. But in Syria and Turkey and Iran, they're still they don't have any kind of freedom to call them as a Kurds and present themselves.
Are there the most Kurds in Iraq compared to those countries?
The most Kurds in Turkey. The first population, they are around 22 million.
In Turkey, okay. Okay, wow. There's a lot of them there. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. And the lowest population in Syria.
The lowest population is in Syria. Okay. I know you visited Syria as well. More than once?
One time before the war, I traveled there as a tourist with my family. Yeah, I still like a wonderful country. I recommend it for you to visit one day.
Yeah, I would love to visit one day. And I also want to visit federal Iraq as well. That's coming up soon, but more on that later. I wanted to ask you, and we're not going to talk about it today, but I know that you were a photographer during the Iraq War. So you were in Mosul at that time. What is Mosul like now, after the war?
Okay, after the war, actually, I visited Mosul a bunch of time. Mosul right now, it's the people, it's work hand in hand to rebuild their city. And every time I see, visit the city, it's, you could see hopes in the people, in the city, They start to rebuild reconstruction so fast, the infrastructure, it's gets better and better day by day to rebuild it. The buildings, the destroyed building, school, hospitals. I see hope in Mosul. And there's so fast process
awesome.
In the rebuildings and infrastructure.
That's good news. I remember when I saw you, you had said that there's areas of the city that are still kind of rubble. I had wondered how much it's changed since even 2 years ago, if they've restored most of it by now.
I will not say, I will say it is not the city completely rebuilding, because Mosul, it's divided, the river divided the city to the two parts. One part, it is the city is totally, it's fine. It's okay. I'm going to say 70 to 80% is good. The other 20% they working on. But we have the opposite side of the city, of the river. That part is need a lot of work. It's need years.
Okay. Yeah.
And even last time I visit Mosul, I visit the destroyed area and I see toys of children under the demolition building. It's it break my heart. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was devastating. But it's so nice to hear that, you see hope there. So now to get to something we talked about a lot when I was in Erbil with you. I know that you kind of are on a mission to change how people see Iraqis and Middle Eastern people, the stereotypes around them, in the Western world. What are the biggest misconceptions, do you think, that Westerners have of the Iraqi people? And how do you think we can change these perceptions? I know you mentioned you were maybe making these videos or something back then. I don't know if I have that correct. But if you could, tell us about that, what you think.
So the first thing is like let's say the Western world, when they visit like Middle East and especially Iraq, they think like we use camels or horse for transportations, you know. They don't like, we as a country, we developed country. Mm-hmm. We have like so much good school, university, people educate, people fight for to have a life. Our people is like fight to for dreams to come true, like to live the life, live the moments. And mostly like they think like it's Iraq is an Islamic country, it's conservative country. I would say nah. If you're coming to the north, like special Kurdistan, we have a much freedom than Iraqi federal. If you're coming, a recommendation for you to visit Kurdistan one day. So if you like, for example, if you're coming to Erbil, you're going to see church, mosque, and we have like bars. But so you are going to see different people orientations. There's people following the religions. There's people following the not religious. There is people like just want to fight for their life, you know. And if going to Acre, for example, it's about an hour and a half from Erbil. You could see there is used to be, and it's still the construction exists there. There is a mosque, church, synagogue, each beside each other's. So if you imagine how people live in peace together, and in general, in Iraq, the official like religions in Iraq, it's Muslim, Islam, Christian, Jewish. We have like almost there is zero population for Jewish, but back to let's in 1950, there is used to be high population of Jewish people. We have Yazidi religion, Mandai, Zoroastrian.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, there is a bunch. So Iraq, in general, it's not an Islamic country. It's a multicultural. It's a multicultural religion. You know, it's there is like, and even if you like see the ethnics, there is Arab, Kurds, Turkmen. There is also like a few other like ethnic groups live in peace together.
Yeah, that's. I'm really glad you shared that. You know, I was so surprised going to Erbil. I didn't know what to expect. You know, I did very little research. The whole reason I crossed the border into Iraq is because I made some Kurdish friends in Turkey, and they said, "Oh, you have to go to Iraqi Kurdistan." And I was on a bus like a couple days later, and I didn't realize how modern Erbil would be. It's super modern. The hospitality, it was amazing. Brooke and I were received really well. For those who are listening, Brooke is my American friend who met me in Erbil. And yeah, I was very surprised. And it was so eye-opening to travel around Kurdistan. Brooke and I visited, you know, the Red Terror Museum that's in Sulaymaniyah, and Halabja, which was the site of the biggest civilian chemical warfare attack in history. And that was eye-opening and tragic, horrible, but I was never taught any of this in history. It was extremely eye-opening. And I shared all of this on social media.
And did you feel the Mesopotamian? Like, did you feel the Mesopotamian? If you back time to school, I'm sure you studied about Mesopotamia.
Yeah, a little bit.
So it's beginning from the north of Iraq to the south. So, you know, like, and by the way, like Erbil, the Erbil citadel, it's one of the first inhabited city in the world.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's back to 5,000 to 6,000 years ago.
I remember that you told us that when we were standing on the citadel. It's the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world. Yes, I remember that. Amazing. Yeah, there's so much history there. And the other thing too, like as a woman, I felt very safe in Kurdistan. You know, Brooke and I even hitchhiked once, at least once, maybe twice. And we weren't expected to wear hijabs as well as Westerners. Would this be possible in federal Iraq? Or would women be expected to wear the hijab no matter where they're from?
Yeah, even in federal, like, yeah, it's not mandatory to wear hijab, but there is some spots, it's like a so conservative city. Like, example, Najaf and Karbala, it's the shrine, it's the biggest shrine for the Shia majority. So it's recommended to following the culture,
yes,
code, you know, wearing hijab and covering your body. But other city, it's okay. Just, you know, following the the culture code clothes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But if you see north of Iraq, it's much, it's kind of gonna see, it's, there is a much liberal for the woman in north of Iraq, Kurdistan region.
Yes, I realize that Kurdistan seems to be definitely liberal, or more liberal than I thought it would be, for sure. I mean, you know, going to the bars, going to that zip line and the pool, the big outdoor pool part. What was that place you took us? Do you remember that? The water park? We went to this water park. It was pretty fun.
Yeah,
was,
we visited two waterfall. One of them called Gali Ali Beg.
Okay. Yeah, that was fun.
Which is the picture in the 5,000 Iraqi currency.
Oh, yeah, I remember now. Yeah, there's so many things there that I was just not expecting. And yeah, I really love being surprised by places. And it was a great experience. And what is tourism like in Kurdistan right now? Do you think there's more tourists than when I was there? Or is it gradually increasing?
It's increasing, but at the moment, it's not the season because it's like our summer.
Yeah,
so
that's
hot.
True.
So people start to coming visit Kurdistan to end of April. This is the season for you to have a good chance to visit Kurdistan.
Except me and Brooke, who went in June. So that was the bit.
Yeah. In the middle of summer.
Yeah. I remember, like I said earlier, it was 45 degrees at one point while we were there. But I think I didn't see any other tourists actually while we were there. Maybe a couple, but not many, that's for sure. And federal Iraq, I guess more people are definitely going. I've seen on social media some travel vloggers are going because they opened it up for visa on arrival for 37 countries. That was early 2021. That was right before Brooke and I went to Kurdistan. I wanted to cross the border then, but I ended up not. So I'm going to leave that for a future trip. What other tips do you have for foreigners visiting Iraq and Kurdistan, like separately or together? Do you have any other?
I recommend it always for each one who Kurdistan. Definitely recommend it to break the stereotypes and show the real side of Kurdistan and Iraq. Like what you see, people offering you, you know, here's the things. It's if we like together hand in by hand, we could show to the world, the real Iraq, the real Middle East, the real of Kurdistan region. And the tips, it depends if you like a hiker person, adventure person, we have a bunch of good hiking trail, and the highest mountain in Kurdistan is like called Halgut Mountain. The height's about like 3,224 meters above the sea. if you're interested in nature, we have a good...
Where is that?
In Choman. And it's about like 2 hours far from Erbil.
Okay. Like 2 hours north.
Yeah. So if you're interested in the natures and adventure hiking, you could find a good hiking trails and rivers, lake. There is a rafting season at the moment. And if you're interested in historical...
In Kurdish New Year, right?
No, if the Kurdish New Year, it's in 21 of March.
21st of March. I know that's a big... Don't you hike up a mountain or something? You do something really special for that.
I ended being in the mountains, big fire. So it's our New Year. And by the way, the Kurdish New Year, it's at the moment, if the Kurdish calendar, it's 27, 23. So we are in the future.
Yeah, I remember you told me that. Can anybody join that mountain celebration? Or do you have to be Kurdish?
For sure. No, it's for everyone. It's even every year, there's so much like tourists coming to that awesome day. Like they planning to be in Kurdistan at that, during that time to join. And they're like, they're wearing the Kurdish outfit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so amazing. I also recommend to visit Kurdistan during that time if you have a chance.
Yeah, I would love to be there for the new year.
So that's point. And if you're interested in historical side, we have the Yazidi religion. It's one of their holy shrine in Kurdistan for the Yazidi religion. It's called Lalish. You visited, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And there was...
Yes. Remember, Brooke and I went there. I didn't know anything about that religion until we went there. There was no... Yeah, I had no idea. What an interesting religion. They have all these... You know, visiting that temple, we played these games, like these... I don't know how to explain it, but very, very interesting place, the Yazidis. Yazidis, right? Is this how you say it?
Yeah. Yeah, and there is also like Marmati and Ruhban Hormuz Monastery.
Oh, yeah, we were there too.
Yeah.
Is that in Al-Kosh? Al-Kosh?
Exactly. You're so good. You still remember. That's good.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's...
You should be tour guiding Kurdistan for you.
That would be fun, but... I haven't written about Kurdistan in my travel blog. I mean, it's not too late, but you know, I shared so many stories and photos on social media because I was very intent on what you said, showing people that this is what it's like here. This is not what you see it's not what you see in the media. It's not what you think, you know, because many people, like I actually, before I went, you know, I told my sister and that's about it. I didn't want to tell people I was going because I didn't want people to just say like, don't go there because they don't know. You know, I think there was definitely this feeling of people would think, you know, it's a dangerous place to go. A lot of people would have thought that had I told them, but yeah, I hope that I did contribute to this slowly degrading the stereotypes. I hope so. I hope I chipped away at it a little bit for people. But I would like to write more about Iraq and Kurdistan in the future, for sure. And do you think social media is the best way to show people? I guess like that's probably the easiest way, you know, for travelers to Iraq to tell people exactly what's going on, to show everybody. Can you think of any other ways? Or is this kind of the main way? The mainstream.
I think the main it's social media, the part of the social media. I believe in the part of the social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have millions of users, let's say Facebook, Instagram, TikTok nowadays. So if you just like, let's say, like write down the Kurdistan hashtag, if you like searching in the, just wrote down the hashtag and the Kurdistan, you could see like, what's the Kurdistan? You're going to see a bunch of video, reels. And the second way, it's by telling the story.
Yeah.
Like telling your experience to friends, family, or like, you know, this is also like a good chance for us.
This is, yeah, I also...
To tell the story.
Absolutely. I also, you know, when people ask me where I've gone in the last few years, I do say Iraq to everybody. And people ask me, well, wow, like how was that? And that is a good opportunity to tell people how it is. But again, I can only speak for Kurdistan, but I think federal Iraq, it's going to be, I feel like I would also have a very good experience there. Like I said, there are some influencers who have been traveling through Iraq and have very positive experiences. And yeah, that's upcoming. What do you have anything else you want to share with people who are listening to this episode about Kurdistan, Iraq?
I recommend it to like put you in the bucket list, like Kurdistan plus Iraq.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, it's like gonna opening your eyes. You're gonna have a new kind of adventure and experience. You're gonna diving more in Mesopotamia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you started from, let's say, north, there is in the north there is a mountains. If you slowly going to the south, you're gonna see deserts, camels, nomads, people in your way. So you're gonna see different. You're gonna see different diversity, you know, from the north mountain landscape up. As much as possible, going to the south, you're going to see deserts. And you could find the marshland, the water.
Mm-hmm. I saw this in your, I saw this in one of your Instagram stories. You were in the marsh.
Yeah, I have the chance, like about 2 months ago, I have the chance. I was like on vacation. So I not decide to back home tourism. And so I decided to dive in more to the soil, like a nice experience to be there. And also I stay there one night. I hosted by a local family.
Oh.
Who's like, yeah, they're making their living only from milking the cows.
Wow.
The cow. And yeah, so I have fresh cream and yogurt in the morning.
Are the Kurdish people... So Kurdish people, are you well received in federal Iraq? Like it's just, you know, people will invite you into their homes like you're a tourist or what, or like you're an Iraqi. Like how do they view you being from Kurdistan?
The things, if they treat you as you are a guest.
Yes.
They don't look
okay.
At your skin. They don't care about your background. So yeah, you are a guest.
Mm-hmm.
So you're welcome.
Yeah, I really did get this as well.
Even in each part, even like if I've gone to another city, they're gonna see me as a guest. Yeah, so yeah, they're gonna show you their hospitality, and they're gonna offering you a lot.
Yeah, I really thought the hospitality was amazing. Brooke and I were invited to lunch to stay overnight. We didn't stay overnight with anybody, but we had lunch with a family who, you know, I think just saw us kind of in a town. I can't remember where we were. We were in Amedi? I think it was Amedi. And a family.
Amedi.
Yeah. So a family just invited us over for lunch. It was so kind. Yeah, it was an amazing experience. I wish I stayed longer, but I'll be back. Thank you, Mustafa, for telling us more about Kurdistan and Iraq.
Yeah, and also I'm gonna tell you something. I'm going to tell you something I never like shared in the social media.
Yes.
So last year in November, I went to Amedi.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot about Amedi. There is used to be Jewish, Christian, and Muslim.
Okay.
And in some point, I start to ask the people about where is the Jewish, let's say, quarter, the Jewish district. And I found a garden, and I'm sure there was a synagogue. And I diving, like I went to the stair, like to the basement of the garden. Like there is a staircase take to the down.
Yes.
In the garden. And I found the synagogue
wow.
there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like a secret.
Yeah.
It was like a secret synagogue or?
Secret one, yeah.
Wow. I like secret places.
It's used to be synagogue. And even if you could see like there is a some word from the Hebrew, like from the Bible, like,
wow.
I mean, the Hebrew, you could find the Hebrew written in the wall.
How old do you think it was?
I don't know, actually, but that city used to be mentioned in the Bible.
Yeah. Wow. That's yeah.
Imagine.
One of the inscriptions on the walls in Alkosh in the monastery, and you said this before, hand to hand, is it hand by hand to build the country or no? Was that, what is the significance of that? Did I remember it correctly? Is that something you've heard?
Yeah, that's right. But that's not, yeah, it's like hand by hand to like building the country.
Yes.
Building the nation. But that's not from the Bible. It's like only like written, yeah.
No. But is this a saying or what is the significance of it? Do you remember or do you know? Or is it not significant and it was just something that was on the wall?
During the war, because Iraq, like in the last, let's say, century, we have like, let's say, war for 80 years. Last century, we lived peace only for 20 years. So funny. So always we say hand in hand to building the country, building the nation.
Hand in hand, like people come together. Is this what it means?
Exactly. People come together to rebuild the nation, the country again.
That's a good saying. And the other saying, I know this is a Kurdish one, no friend but the mountains, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And can you tell us what that...
Yeah. If you read about the, like, if you read the, let's say, Kurdish people history, we always in war. We always in danger. We always in unstable conditions.
Yes.
So in each time, like, let's say the last time, the biggest one, it's against Saddam regime. So when he start to attack us by chemical and starting the genocide, so people, they don't have a shelter. So they start to escape to the mountains. Even my parents at that time, they have a newborn. He's my older brother. It just like he's just like a newborn, like few days.
Mm-hmm.
They're running to the mountains because there is no shelter and no support.
Wow.
No one, no one give them support. So they're running to the mountain always. So we say there is like no friend but the mountains.
I understand.
Mountains for us, it's something very special for us.
How long did your parents have to stay in the mountains before they could return?
Oh.
Do you know?
Few weeks.
Okay.
Few weeks. Yeah, they stayed there for a few weeks.
Wow. Mm. Yeah, you've been through a lot. Iraqis have been through a lot. And Kurdish people have been through a lot. I think...
Yeah, we've been... So if you visit us, you will see funny people like always like fighting for the life to have fun. They're living the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're going through, what we have been through, shape our character for today.
Oh yeah, I'm sure resilience and positivity, all of these things. You guys really live life to the fullest.
I hope everyone who's listening to the interview, I'm recommended for you to visit Iraq, Federal Iraq. It's now opening visa on arrival for 37 nationality and Kurdistan. Yeah, it's also recommended for you. It's so good to be like give a chance to visit. Yeah, I recommend it.
Yeah, Kurdistan has a visa on arrival as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Kurdistan's visa on arrival, I'm not sure how many countries it's open for, but I was very easily letted from at the border. You know, it was not very difficult, the visa process. A lot of people can travel there. Thank you, Mustafa, for this conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jenna. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and I hope that my conversation with Mustafa gave some insight into what Iraq and Kurdistan are really like. As usual, you can read my travel stories on www.roguechemistblog.com and follow my adventures on Instagram at roguechemist_blog.